this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona. This is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
I need to understand that this was not by somebody that is above law and order that decided used to kill us because, I don't know, maybe because I did a tweet that was very strong against President Netanyahu. I don't know. Obviously, that's why we need to have an investigation that is neutral and is above IDF. I believe will be good intentions on anybody. They will tell the story whatever they want to say. But what I know is that we were targeted deliberately, nonstop, until everybody was dead in this convoy. That cannot be the role of an army. That cannot be the role of an army that has hundreds of drones above Gaza in any single moment. The humanitarians and civilians should never be paying the consequences of war. This is a basic principle of humanity. At the time, this looks like it's not a war against terrorism anymore. Seems this is a war against humanity itself. You cannot be destroying every building. You cannot be destroying every hospital, every school. You cannot be targeting humanitarian. You cannot be targeting children. You cannot be fighting the basis of what humanity should be standing for.
President Biden is said to be angry and increasingly frustrated and offered a harsh statement over the attack, saying he was outraged by the strike. But
okay, welcome back to the second hour of our show. It's Thursday for April in the year of our Lord 2024. I've asked Yoram Hazani to join us. Two things. I think we've hit an inflection point, because right there you're seeing, oh, this is a war against humanity, pointing it at the Israelis. And the Biden regime has noticeably even shifted more radically, I think, than they have in the past about their support for Israel. Plus, there's been huge protests, et cetera. And Joel Pollack, the great editor who worked with me for many years over at Breitbart, was our editor-in-chief for a couple of years when I first took over after Andrew passed away and then became editor-at-large, has written quite simply a brilliant piece over at Breitbart that I put up on my Getter account first thing this morning about a color revolution. So I asked the smartest guy I know about all of this. He joins us from Jerusalem, Yoram Hazani. So, Yoram, I want to deal with the first part first. This this hit that IDF took, it's been now promoted as an attack against a war against humanity. Walk me through how this thing is metastasized over the last couple of days. And here in the United States on cable, the two things that dominate cable right now, MSNBC and CNN, is Trump's white nationalist Christian nationalism and his war against democracy, and the rest of it is Israel and Israelis as a war against humanity. So walk me through, first off, what's happened with this shift, internationally known, obviously, how that's playing out, what it means, and then I want to talk about this color revolution, because I think Joel Pollack, who's a brilliant guy, is onto something quite profound.
I agree with Joel. I mean, I think that we are in fact watching. I mean, the game was out in the open when Chuck Schumer announced that that Netanyahu's government had to be toppled. I mean, he certainly didn't say that without the without the agreement of the Biden White House. And I think on the ground in Israel, it feels more like a color revolution than probably from what you can see from there. We have 75% of the Israeli public, which continues to support the government's policies. 75% supporting the invasion of Rafiah as a necessary to end the war in Gaza. 75% opposing the Biden administration's initiative to establish a Palestinian state as a reward for terror. So the Israeli public continues to be solidly behind the government's policies. But we do see these choreographed demonstrations that remind us of, you know, the BLM riots in 2020. We're now seeing them in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem. They're still small demonstrations. They're not able to field a large number of people, but they're getting more violent. The tactics are these ultra-left neo-Marxist tactics that we're familiar with. And people in America are probably not aware that at the same time, the Israeli Supreme Court, which is sort of the fount of far leftism in Israel, the Israeli Supreme Court has its own initiative against the Israeli government. It's pressing forward with repeated court-ordered revisions of the draft law in Israel, whose purpose is to topple the Israeli government. I think it's pretty clear that the Biden administration has figured out that as long as the war in Israel is going on, it harms their chances of re-election in November, and that's put Netanyahu and Biden in a zero-sum struggle. That Netanyahu needs to prosecute the war as the Israeli public expects in order to remain in power, and Biden needs him to stop in order to remain in power.
Because didn't Benny Gantz, who's part of, because you've it's not really Netanyahu's government. You have a, and correct me if I'm wrong, for our audience, it's a coalition government with a war cabinet. You have a wartime government because you're at war. I mean, it's no other way. You're at a war to the knife. I mean, this is an existential war in Gaza by the Muslim Brotherhood, but it's expanded all over now. You got the Persians, you've got Syria, you've got Lebanon, you've got the Red Sea. I mean, you have to be blind not to see what's going on here. Is Benny Gantz announced that he believes there should be elections in September, or is Benny Gantz in that part of the war coalition, and he's been the rival to Netanyahu for a while? Are they now saying that they're essentially agreeing with the Biden regime and others in Western Europe, and you got to basically take down Netanyahu?
Gantz did call for elections this week. He certainly is a rival of Netanyahu's, but as you correctly said, Steve, this is a coalition government that's prosecuting this war, and Gantz has not publicly criticized the way that the war is being prosecuted. So, I mean, the Biden administration expects that by toppling Netanyahu and bringing Gantz into power, the Biden people think that they're going to get a more moderate government. I personally strongly doubt that. I mean, at the moment, that plot is not succeeding. But even if they do succeed, Gantz has never said that he doesn't support all of these war aims. And you're right also to talk about it as an existential threat. Probably in America, people are not aware that today Israel is on high alert with the first mobilization that is responding to a possible threat of direct Iranian missile strike on Israel, or drone swarm attack on Israel. So this is unprecedented in the last 6 months Israel's military and civilians are on alert that Iran may be about to attack. And, this is not a situation where you can expect Benny Gantz or any other major figure in Israel to really break ranks with the government. He continues to support the government's policies during this emergency.
And Benny Gantz, just so people know, he is a liberal progressive, what do you say, but he is a former, I think, commander of the IDF, right? Is a major general?
Yeah, no, he's a ranking military figure. He's one of three top military figures in the Israeli war cabinet. I don't think any of them are progressives. I mean, I think that this is just a, you know, wishful thinking on the part of the Biden administration. They may be able to, it may turn out that Gantz or some of these generals that they can be manipulated more easily than Netanyahu because they're less experienced in politics. But the idea that you know that they're going to build Biden his, you know, his Palestinian state in order to that he can win the election in the coming months, this is just a fantasy.
Let's go back. Two things I want to do. I want to get back to the color revolution and make sure everybody knows the background of that. But I want to talk in Rafah. I'm kind of surprised. What is holding up? There's what, 2 to 4 brigades of Muslim Brotherhood Hamas fighters there, warriors. What has been the holdup of actually getting on with it and getting in there and taking care of business? Because that's to me the festering sore, that you haven't finished what you started, and now it's expanding. Because now it's expanding. You got the north, you got the Persian militias, you know, Hezbollah up there. You've got the situation in Syria. You guys are on high alert for drone sworn attacks to be the first direct hit by Persian military into Israel. You got the Red Sea. This thing's metastasizing, but you haven't taken care. It seems like diversions all over, but you haven't gone and taken care of the main thing. What is that just my perception? Is there something holding it up inside Israel? What's the thinking on that?
No, I think the main thing that's, since the government is the government and the public are completely agreed on the need to conquer Rafiah, which is the last remaining stronghold of Hamas in Gaza. The only thing that that I believe is likely to be holding it up is the high tension, the wrestling between the Israeli government and the American administration. Which is, you know, both Israel's principal weapon supplier, right? So the 70% of Israel's munitions are coming in from the United States and through the administration. And in addition, the United States obviously, defends Israel, wielding its veto, usually not always, at the United Nations and other diplomatic settings. So Netanyahu correctly understands that, you know, on the one hand, he keeps saying, and he certainly believes this, that Israel is going to conquer Rafiah, whether the Americans want it or not. Very, very rare for an Israeli prime minister to speak this frankly. He's speaking that frankly because he knows the Israeli public is behind him, and so is the war cabinet. But that is the holdup. If we had an American administration that was saying, Netanyahu, get this done as quickly as possible. We'll give you, you know, we'll sell you what you need. Then Rafiah would already have been conquered, and Israel would probably be moving on to deal with the Lebanese front, which is really a hot, active war. It's no longer a low intensity war in the north.
Get our folks up to speed on that. What do you mean by high intensity?
Well, the Hezbollah has occupied southern Lebanon, you know, basically since 2000. Hezbollah is a Shiite, you know, people say Shiite militia. It's a Shiite army that's more or less under the direct control of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, and they began shooting at Israel on October 7th. It began as token strikes, an exchange of fire a little bit every day. At this point, it's simply incorrect to call it a low intensity war, because to begin with, 100,000 people have been evacuated from Israel's north. So all of the border towns in the north are ghost towns, and that population, which is a very, very large number of people for Israel, for any country, but it's certainly for a small country like Israel, those people are living in hotels, and they've been living in hotels for 6 months. And nobody in the government thinks that it's possible to return them to their homes without removing the Hezbollah from the south of Lebanon, pushing them north of the Litani River, which would put them out of shooting range for most of their weapons. So today, at this point, this has escalated to dozens of attacks per night. When I say dozens of attacks, I mean attacks on dozens of towns in Israel's north every single night. And Israel is counterattacking with deep strikes against Hezbollah, you know, 100 kilometers north of the Israeli border. They're taking out, they just took out a consular building in Syria, in which Iranian and Hezbollah generals were meeting. This is the kind of action that's taken when things have already gotten very severe. And the expectation in Israel is that that as soon as Gaza is over, that Israel is going to have to go to war against Hezbollah in the north in order to be able to return 100,000 people to their homes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. In let's leave Israel out of it. Just objectively, with the empirical evidence, are the Persian mullahs in Tehran the sworn enemies of the United States of America? Is there any question about that in your mind whatsoever, Yoram?
No, there's no question. The Iranian government says explicitly, has said explicitly for two generations now, that America is the great Satan, and anybody who doubts what the Iranians would do to the great Satan if they could, all you need to do is look at October 7th, and you have there the most graphic demonstration possible of what the Iranians would support doing to the United States if they could. Now, this doesn't mean, you know, the fact that this is the situation, I don't think that means that the United States has to start, you know, another Middle Eastern war and invade Iran or something. But I think it is important to understand who it is that we're dealing with, what it is that they want.
Yeah, no. This, if Israel didn't exist, if there's no Israel, forget Israel, no Israel. Because I, as a young man, I was in the North Arabian Sea and Persian Gulf, not for my health, because they took our embassy. They took our embassy and held our people for 444 days, and we're going to kill them all unless President Reagan came on scene. And the single biggest mistake President Reagan says is that when he put troops into Lebanon, the Persian militias right there killed, hundreds of U.S. Marines in their sleep. If there was no Israel, if Israel didn't exist and it was not in the Middle East, are the mullahs in Tehran the sworn enemies of the United States of America, sir?
Yes, sir, they are.
So are they not, because of the Biden regime, and the empirical evidence on that is overwhelming, is the Biden regime, because of their actions towards an ally of ours, when I look at this strategically as a military guy and a guy that went to, you know, got an advanced degree in this at Georgetown, even before Harvard, I would say right now the Persians are winning. Am I wrong on that? That you can actually make a case that the Persians are winning? We're 6 months into this, and from the Red Sea to Lebanon to Syria to what's happening in Gaza, all over, and particularly the media war that's in Europe and the media war in the United States, in the streets of the United States, which I have said the pro-Palestinian movement is the most anti-American. I didn't say anti-Jewish. I didn't say anti-Israel. The most anti-American movement I have ever seen in the United States. Are the Persians not winning? 6 months in the war, are they not, are strategically, are they not actually winning here?
I actually think that you can make that case. Well, let me make it for you. Israel set out, we discussed this, you know, months ago. Israel set out, had three military aims for the Gaza part of this operation. Number one, eliminate the Hamas. Number two, return the hostages. Number three, change the security and political situation on the ground in Gaza so that it's impossible to use it as a staging area for, you know, Nazi-like attacks on Israel again. Those are the three aims. At the moment, none of those three aims have been achieved. Militarily, Israel has gone from success to success in Gaza, and I think the work that our armed forces have done there was remarkable. But the progress has stopped. The current standoff about Rafah is a standoff not just about one town in Gaza. The question is, is Hamas going to survive? Is the Biden administration seeking re-election going to save this horrific Muslim Brotherhood organization, to save it militarily and politically so that it can live to fight another day? And for sure, if that's the outcome, right? And at the moment, it hangs in the balance. Is Biden really going to force Israel to stop the war? If that happens, then the Iranians have won the war.
At that time, as simultaneously, now I want to go to Joe Pollack's piece, a color revolution, and Trump, the election was stolen here in 2020 by a color revolution, the summer of love with BLM and all of it, a color revolution in the United States. At the same time that Israel strategically is, not overwhelming its major opponent, the Persians, that's a sworn enemy to the United States of America. On top of all this, layered on top of this, is a color revolution, and a color revolution, I might add, that has support from certain major elements in the United States of America, sir.
For sure. I mean, having Chuck Schumer, the ranking Democrat in the Senate, the majority leader, having him declare that the time has come to remove Netanyahu from power, I mean, what can you say? I mean, this is not what you expect from an ally, is an understatement. The precedent, color revolutions. We know this term from the overthrow of the democratically elected government in Ukraine, and then the overthrow of the democratically elected government in Georgia, and. There are figures in the U.S. State Department and intelligence community who have developed this technique of how to remove from power democratically elected figures that are uncomfortable to the American administration. In Israel, I think it's an especially horrific, egregious case because Netanyahu is leading a government, a broad government whose policies are supported by 75% of the Israeli public. In the latest polls, we still have 75% supporting entering Rafah and 75% opposing the idea of imposing a Palestinian state. And the idea that a democratically elected government whose policies have that kind of support should be subject to a multi-pronged effort by American and European and other leftist NGOs with a wink and nod from Washington, if not, you know, direct support from Washington. I find it sickening, and I'm scared for the United States that it's run by the kind of people who think that this is the way to be treating an Israeli government, an allied government that's at war. You know, Israel has not asked the United States to fight its war for it, but having a fundamental decency to allow Israel to prosecute what it considers to be, what we all consider to be a war that's necessary for our survival, you know, for political gain. You know, Steve, this is, you know, it's a really just a sorry thing to see.
Is it, I don't know any other way to ask this, but so many prominent Jewish individuals in the Biden administration, Biden regime that are driving this. You've got it's MSNBC with somebody, the prominent host, that are driving. I mean, the anti-Israel part of this is shocking to me. It's shocking in the media, in Hollywood. Do Israelis and Jews in Israel feel abandoned by a large portion of the American Jewish population that is prominent in media, prominent in finance, and in business? Understand there's some supporters, but do they feel generally abandoned by these people?
No. Well, it sort of depends on who these people are. I mean, you're absolutely correct that there there exists in the Jewish community in the United States. There, you know, that we've talked about this before. There exists, you know, I don't know what the numbers are, 10%, 15% of the Jews in the United States who are you know, genuinely committed to progressivism, and those are people who are willing to justify Hamas's actions, just like the rest of the left is. Jewish leftists are leftists, but I don't think that that's the majority of the Jewish population in the United States. It's true that most Jews are liberals, and most Jews vote Democrat. But
I'm not arguing it's a majority. I think it's a very small minority. But it seems to me that they're very prominent in the Biden regime, very prominent in national security and foreign policy, very prominent in media. It is if you sat here, we curate CNN and MSNBC for our audience every night. So I see a lot of this. I mean, nonstop. BBC, MSNBC. I mean, these are virulently anti-Israeli channels. And I mean, virulently. You never get a fair break. You never get any of the facts presented correctly. It's a pure propaganda, and that propaganda is against the Jewish state in Israel. That's the ones promoting now. It's a war against humanity. I tell you, hang on for a second, because I want to talk about what actions you believe need to be taken to sort this mess out, because this is a mess, and it's getting more dangerous, and it's getting darker by the minute, and it's not being covered here in the United States in the media. Short commercial break. Yoram Hazani is going to join us from Jerusalem. We've got Joe Hoft about the upcoming persecution of President Trump. He's going to go through the math with us all in a moment in the War Room. The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year. And then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action. Criminals have access to more advanced tools than ever, and now they're using them to steal our most valuable asset. That would be your home. In Miami, an elderly woman didn't find out an empty plot of land she owned was stolen until she went to pay taxes. A stranger had already paid them, and property records showed she had sold the land. They had forged her signature and registered a fake deed. How scary is that? That's why you need to get Home Title Lock today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and immerse yourself in this information. Think that it can't happen to you? Well, you are wrong. When's the last time you checked your home's title? All a thief has to do is forge your signature, refile as the new owner. And once your home is not in your name, it can get really ugly, and it can get really ugly fast. They can take out equity loans or even sell your house to an unsuspecting buyer who shows up at your door one day and says, "Hey, this baby is mine." Don't think your home insurance policy will protect you. It won't. Check your home today for free when you get to HomeTitleLock.com and use promo code Bannon at signup. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Bannon at signup. You'll get a free scan of your home's title plus 30 days of protection totally free. That is 30 days of protection totally free. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Bannon. Do not let these thieves steal your home in broad daylight. The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here, and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Bannon.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, I'm going to get back to Yoram in a second. This situation in Israel is so existential and so profound. I really want him, I got to spend some more time with him and drill down on what actions need to be taken, because I, quite frankly, I am shocked 6 months into the war with as much bravery and sacrifice we've seen from IDF and the Israeli people, that I think strategically we're winning tactically on the battlefield and losing the war. This is going to be a Pyrrhic victory of what these brave men and women did in Gaza against the Muslim Brotherhood and now against the Persians. And the Persians, I think you make a case the Persians are winning. Unbelievable. Joe Hoft, I want to make sure, I want to set the predicate here, because I'm going to spend the rest of the time, we're going to have Laura Loomer, I'm announcing that Laura Loomer and Mike Davis are going to be our special correspondents starting on the 15th of April in New York City to cover this. And people have to realize it's going to start on April 15th. We have to just understand that. But I want to set the stage here why the underlying what we're talking about is total and complete nonsense, because then we get to what it's about. It's about smearing President Trump in front of the American people. This is the patriarchy's on trial. Trump is the patriarchy. You know, he's horrible to women. You're going to have the porn star up there for a week. You're going to have the Playboy bunny's going to be up there for a week. They're going to bring the Billy Bush guys in for a week. All of it. That's what they're really trying to do. That's the political. The underlying reality is nonsense. And one of the smartest forensic accountants I know is Joe Hoff, and we've asked Joe to look into it. So, Joe, walk us through the nonsense of what President Trump's actually been charged with doing.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And it's an honor to be here, as always. I put a piece up yesterday. It was on the Gateway Pundit, and shared just really my thoughts on about 10 points on these underlying accounting entries. Mike Davis has said, hey, this whole thing's based on accounting entries. And when you really look at it from an accounting or auditing perspective, it's just total garbage. This case never should have came to court, just like all the rest. It's absolute, just terrible. You would only, you know, you'd have to have a corrupt judge to push this thing through. It's just unbelievable. So of my points, the first point, you may have even been involved with this, was the fact that when President Trump won the presidency, he handed over his companies to his two sons. So that happened before the inauguration in 2017. And yet they're claiming that these entries occurred after that point in time. All these entries, by the way, that are stated in Bragg's indictment, all occurred in 2017, the first being in February. So President Trump wasn't even running his company at the time, yet they're claiming that he had something to do with these entries. That alone is, you know, this timing issue is a big deal. Another thing that that was raised right away after the indictment, Bragg got in front of the people in New York City and said, hey, and the world for that matter, and said, hey, you know, here's the indictment. And a reporter asked him, so what is the crime? And Bragg said, quote unquote, the indictment doesn't specify because the law does not require that I identify the exact crime. So that was pretty shocking. I'm sure Mike Davis can opine on that and has already. The other point that I wanted to bring up from my experience working in the corporate world, a Fortune 500 firm, and overseeing the financial reporting on a $1 billion block of business and multi-million-dollar blocks of business, the likelihood that the President Trump made these entries is is beyond belief, because the CEO of a major corporation, multi-billion dollar, is not going to get involved with entries that are maybe 10, 5, 15,000. I believe the total is somewhere between 100 and 200,000 in the indictment. They don't list the amounts because they don't want you to know how big a deal this is. As a matter of fact, I never discussed any entries made with any in the block of business that I oversaw for financial reporting with the CEO ever in a Fortune 500 firm that was billion dollar. I can't imagine that President Trump did either. This is it just seems to be made up and false. Another point that they say is that these accounting entries were made back in 2017 when this indictment came out. And this, again, is a point that Davis could probably opine on better than me. But I remember Newsweek came out and said, hey, statute of limitations is 2 years for crimes like if there was a crime, an accounting entry, which is a very minor misdemeanor. And that was long before this indictment ever occurred. So how could you even bring it? So the statute of limitations was long gone. Another piece that that I identified is that these entries themselves and all this activity occurred in 2017, which somehow, he says, impacted the 2016 election. So if that's the case, he'd be, you know, some sort of time traveler, because how has anybody ever done something 2 years from now that impacts something today? It just doesn't even make sense. That logical argument is just nonsense. Another piece that I wanted to bring out is the fact that that Briggs says that these entries were so significant, and really it's less than a couple hundred thousand. It's hard for me to believe, being an auditor and having done audits around the world, 200-300, and an international audit executive, that anybody'd even identify these entries. They're so small in a multi-billion dollar company. Even if you did some random sampling, the likelihood of anybody even identifying these in the first case would be very, very limited and unlikely. The other point related to that is an auditor, when they do their review for, let's say, 2022, which is when Bragg is bringing these cases, actually 2023, when he raises these questions, even in a 2022 audit, an auditor is not going to go back 5 years and look for entries that are between 100 and 200,000. Doesn't happen. You rely on prior period work and trust that work, that it's accurate and up to date, and you wouldn't go back 5 years. So this is unbelievable. Go ahead.
I know you got to bounce. I want to give everybody grace and moat. Let's get access. You got all 10 points in detail. You bring all the receipts on this Gateway Pundit. I know you got to bounce, but I want to tie two things together and ask your response, because Joe has got decades of experience in forensic accounting, of being auditing, of have to report public company reporting. If you look at the case of the insurance and the loans, where they're stripping him of his business and has a $500 million fine, you combine it with this. Is your professional opinion as an accountant, an auditor, somebody deals with these types of things all the time? Loans, insurance, public reporting, private reporting, reporting to the IRS, reporting to the SEC. Is there any doubt in your mind, professionally, that this has been a witch hunt against Donald John Trump to basically strip him of his business and charge him with crimes that are not actually crimes, sir?
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. And I couldn't agree more. And maybe one final point on that is there are 34 counts against Trump in New York under Bragg's case. They're all related to 11 different, basically, invoices, accounting entries. Each activity of Trump received an invoice, he booked it into the ledger, and then he made a payment. They claim that each one of these entries then times three, they're claiming each one of those activities is a crime. That's how they come up with these 34. There's actually two entries that were done, one entry is done twice in the books. Thing is, nobody has any control over what invoices you receive in the mail, ever. You don't have control over information you receive in your mail. I don't have control over information received in my mail. And that's the first count, that he somehow is committed a crime by receiving these invoices in the mail. The whole thing is is insanity. It's targeted. It's trying to get Trump. And you can see what they're really after is to throw this slanderous, nasty stuff on Trump before the election, because there's no crime here. An auditor wouldn't even address it. And even if it was ever even said, oh, there's something here. Well, first of all, there wouldn't be an adjusting entry because the expenses are all already recorded. There wouldn't necessarily have to do anything to be done. And so it's just insanity from an accounting perspective. It's unbelievable.
I want everybody to read this article. It's really the predicate that all this is complete and total nonsense. And so the basic charges are a joke. The real thing they're trying to do is put the patriarchy on trial with Donald Trump, smear him, get more of the suburban women and more of the college degreed women not to vote for him, be hating on him. This is what it's about. And baby, you're going to get it served up for 6 to 8 weeks. You know, Stormy Daniels is going to be in the stand for a week. The Playmate Bunny is going to be on the for a week. And that includes cross-examination. But they're going to have 2 and 3 days of just ripping Trump apart. That's what the reality is. The business side of this is a joke. Joe, how do people get to your new podcast, all of it, you know, on social media?
Yes, Steve. I'm thrilled to be on Lindell TV now from 1 to 2 daily Eastern time. Also, you can read and I'll share my posts also at joehoft.com, a separate website, independent of the Gateway Pundit. So appreciate all your help and support.
Of the twins, Joe's the brilliant one. Jim's the handsome one. But somehow it works. It all works over at Gateway Pundit. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. You're
Thanks,
a superstar.
Bye bye.
So the persecution of Trump continues unabated. We're going to start getting into what the trial's really about, because it's not about that. That's just how they cover it to get him in a courtroom. So, Yoram, what is the because of all the brilliance and bravery and sacrifice in the battlefield, it's being lost in the centers of power and in the media. So what is give us some hope? What's the solution?
We have to look at this it's a war for civilization. You've said that many times, but it's right now it's a two-front war. There's the war on the ground in Israel, which is, you know, both a military war and you know the political struggle to keep Israel's government stable. But as I think you're right to look at the United States as a second principal arena of this Gaza war, because, you know, if you ask night after night on American media, these attempts to paint Israel instead of as the country that's fighting for civilization, you know, to paint Israelis as monsters and Nazis and, you know, we're the evildoers in the Middle East. Who's the real target of that? You know, it looks like the target is Israel, but it isn't really true. The real target is Americans who have traditional American beliefs, the belief system of American conservatives, American Christians. The average American has always been pro-Israel, just like they're pro-America, they're pro-God, they're pro-civilization. And the struggle that we're seeing is the struggle to paint all sort of traditional conservative nationalist Americans, Israelis, and in other countries, to paint them all as, you know, as lunatics and Nazis. So the slogan "genocide in Gaza," you know, it's about the Israelis, but it's really about, you know, what's going to happen if Trump wins. You know, Trump's policies are going to be genocide in Gaza everywhere in the world. That's the kind of thing that those people support. And so I think it's really important for Americans to be able to say, in America's internal struggles, Israel's one front in a war against civilization, but that war is taking place here at home as well. And we're not willing to allow our friends and allies who are fighting for civilization to, you know, to be smeared as conducting genocide, because the next thing that's going to happen is the same media are going to accuse us of genocide, right? I mean, it's one battle. Saying that the American right is, you know, is systemically racist saying that, you know, the conservatives in Poland are fascists, and the conservatives in Britain are xenophobic. It's all part of one picture. Anybody who's conservative or nationalist and looking out for his country and for the traditions of our civilization, those are the people that need to be smeared. And that battle needs to be fought above all. It has to be fought in the United States, and we've got to win it there to win it anywhere else.
If we want to send the audience to the best English language source in Israel that was putting out, you felt, good, accurate information about this war, what would you recommend?
You know, I tell people to go to the Times of Israel, which is actually a left-leaning site. And the reason I tell people to go there is because I want them to be able to get Israeli facts without having the feeling that what's going on is that they're, you know, that this is some kind of Likud propaganda or something. I think that anybody who pays attention to the actual facts of what's going on will come away with the understanding that that Israel is fighting this the battle for civilization. Let me also recommend Carolyn Glick. Carolyn Glick's weekly columns. Yeah. She's spectacular at if you want a nationalist perspective, a pro-Jewish perspective, then she's the best out there. We have Eugene Kantorovich, who writes for the Wall Street Journal and for other outlets. These are completely reliable sources on the right, and I think they give you the straight truth.
Now, when I launched Breitbart Jerusalem with the great Aaron Klein, Caroline came on as one of our contributors. She's fantastic, and I'm glad to know that. I go to the Times of Israel every day, understanding it's like the New York Times here, but I'm glad to know that you feel that the coverage is even-handed. Where do we go to get – where does the audience go to get all access to your thinking, social media, all of it?
Social media, the best is on Twitter, Y-Hazony, Y-H-A-Z-O-N-Y. Go to my website, yoramchazony.org. I've written books on all of these subjects that we talk about, and lots of essays for people who don't feel like reading books. Happy to be in touch with everybody.
Yoram, thank you so much, and Godspeed.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Thanks. Thank you, brother. Very, very tough situation. Make sure you read Joel Pollack. One of the reasons to read Joel Pollack about the color revolution, and of course, Beatty and Rahim have done great jobs on this, but the day Trump wins, we're going to have the second color revolution against Trump's coming. The same thing with the protests, the media, all of it. That's coming. Just understand that as much as a struggle as it is for us to power through this and to get to victory, on the evening of November 5th, please don't think it ends. Yes, we can celebrate and we can make sure that we've savored that victory. But man, that is the hard work starts then, the really hard work. Taking back power and the thwart power. And you see it every day. There is a color revolution. The brilliant Joel Pollack's nailed it. There's a color revolution going on in Israel. And it is supported by many, many, many powers and forces in the United States of America. That's what you're going to see in Israel, I'm afraid, is on the brink of coming apart because of this. And so we got to pay special attention to this. It's one of the reasons that gold is at over 2,300, right? It's one of the reasons that gold is over 2,300. You can just, you can take that, almost take it to the bank. That these global forces, and particularly the geopolitical forces, this war that's increasing on the rim of the Eurasian landmass, all the way from Ukraine, all the way down into the Middle East, down to the Red Sea, all the way back to the South China Sea, Taiwan. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. It's powering up. It's one of the reasons we need President Trump back, but he's not going to be able to wave. Don't think Trump's going to be able to wave a magic wand. What he's going to have to do to even get it back to when he was in office, and we had peace and prosperity then. But just because Trump arrives doesn't mean peace and prosperity is going to automatically come. It's just not. There's so much deterioration. There's so many evil acts that have happened in those 4 years. Remember, I said elections have consequences. We know that. stolen elections have catastrophic consequences. He's going to deal with the catastrophic part. So it's going to take a grind. And that's why, don't depend upon me. We give you access to it. Now, we've written the end of the dollar empire. We're coming out with a new edition on the central bank digital currency. But go talk to the expert. We give you the macro. We give you the macro every day, national security, geopolitics, all of it. But go talk to the experts. The experts would be at Birchgold, birchgold.com/Bannon. Also, two other things. One, I want to talk about the tax season and the fear. We can't have you, whether it's credit card debt, whether it's taxes, whether it's unfiled taxes, whether you filed it wrong. Those two things are all process. And you can't fear it. The fear will overwhelm you. We need you on the front lines. You're a combatant. We need you on the front lines. We need you at the ramparts. We can't have you, your attention diverted. And it doesn't have to be. Go to Tax Network USA. If you have questions, unfiled, you think you're filed wrong, you get letters from the IRS, don't engage with the IRS before you talk to the people at Tax Network USA. Go to tnusa.com/Bannon. You'll get a discount. You'll get a discount. But talk to the professionals. You got Josh Hanna and the team over there. Go talk to the professionals at Tax Network USA. Also, make sure that on anything related to your mortgage, HomeTitleLock.com, to your title. Do not allow anybody to get into your title. You want to take your off the ramparts. You want to take your attention away. Have some hard money lender take out a second on the title to your home. $100,000 at those rates. That's all you'll be occupied with. HomeTitleLock.com. Go check it out today. Tax Network, TNUSA.com/Bannon, HomeTitleLock.com/Bannon. Go check it out. Immerse yourself in information. Lou Dobbs follows us. We're back at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Every day, we're lit, we're on fire. We're in the war room. Stick around for Lou Dobbs. We'll see you back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. here in the war room.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models, and beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing that knows what a woman is, and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views, publicsq.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as a consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's publicsq.com, publicsq.com.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.